every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B, it's the Jonathan Wright Show. Find it right here at revolution.radio.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Just giving you more. Oh, this one, yeah. Making a new one. I forgot. Okay, I think we're on. And still kind of catching my breath. We've been switching devices again. I think it just said battery low, but that disappeared.
Because I was trying to hook it up for you, brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, have a good night. I know you got an appointment tomorrow. So this week, maybe shopping if you're around, but in the new car. I don't know, but okay. Anyway, I don't know if you heard me introduce the show a couple minutes ago, a few minutes ago, but, oh yeah, no, I need that. So my eyes don't go crazy. But anyway, all right. We've been switching devices. The other hotspot device, Sunday nights, screws up a lot more. And last night, it was okay. And now it's Sunday night. Okay, welcome to the show. This is Dreamer. I am the Dreamer on the show Dreamer, which is on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. And we're a donation station. So the reason you are able to hear us, me, anybody of our 70-ish or something like that hosts, many more than that over the years, still can access in the archives, is because of donations from the listener alone. So we need your donations. We always need your donations. So please send whatever you can. I'm thrown off again. I'm totally thrown off. My notebook isn't even out, or even though sometimes I can still get use out of that with reading some of it I got a headache. I'm actually maybe coming down with a fever that's actually now going away. Complications with weather and cold come back and kittens. And I had a phone call unexpectedly, a little unexpectedly. I ran into the house for before the show, which let me see if I can't. I can probably see messages on the normal Skype. Let me look. I just can't stay connected on the normal Skype through the normal device. So anyone who wants to send a message, I can still see the message. And I'm looking in the host chat.
Up the top.
Wait a minute.
Keep going slide up further.
I can't. You mean down?
Oh, okay. Well, it should show you on Studio B.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're on Studio A.
Yeah. All right. But
so you can send messages, but I have Mike J on, so it's different. Okay.
No. Yeah, but in other words, I can see these messages, like from
right
maybe Solaris or Rick or.
And you
Mario
can still, that was why it was screwy for me today, because I can watch videos. I can surf the internet. I can go on the internet on the chat room at Revolution Radio, but Skype will drop every time.
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of interference. It can't be.
Well, no, they demand extra bandwidth and speed. It demands both speed and. You know, it's a demand.
But the amount of bandwidth it takes to run Skype is small compared to all the other stuff I was doing.
Well, it's able to do it, but okay. Since it makes the demand, it just automatically cuts it off if it reads that you don't have the current speed and memory. It's like it demands a certain amount of memory, and it demands, you know.
Yeah, I disagree. I was in the middle of Michael J's show.
Yeah, but this moves differently.
Yeah, but listen, I was using the PC. We started the morning Reveille show. We did the first hour and 10 minutes. I had no problem.
Oh, then it dropped. Yeah, well,
and
but.
And then it literally just cut itself off.
Yeah, but Skype has a rerouting difference over anything else.
Well,
it's a complicated path.
That's all I was on. No, you don't understand. That's all that I had open on the whole computer.
I know. Okay. I know. But all the other pages are simple links. You know? All right, have a good night. Well, what I'm trying to say is Skype has supposedly the most complicated, transmission, which was supposed to be uncrackable. I don't know if they openly cracked it or not years ago. So in other words, it separates all the information, different sections of information, pieces of information go use different routes, totally different, totally separate routes to get to one place. It divides up all over the place and then it gets pieced back together again, and it has to search for a usable route for each and every one of the different tanglements, you know, the little arms of the octopus kind of thing, little branches. I got a headache. Ugh. Again, it's not bad, but it's like kind of not great weather, and rushing around. I skipped lunch today. And I took a little extra time to get extra dressed. I started off right away by getting normally winter dressed with all the t-shirts, as opposed to just adding hoodies over hoodies. I did that early, but it still got colder and colder. And then I waited for anything else, like all the hoodies after the shirts. And so I was cold and hungry and sort of playing with the kittens. All the kittens are now outside in a cage with a rubber cover over it. And then I put a tote lid a long tote lid along the side, sort of as a wind blocker, and so the dog can't see it, and a splash guard against the rain. And I finally had to so I didn't tell that story exactly. See, I the kittens went too far one day. One of them went too far one day. Oh, he learned he could climb up this certain area, and if he turned around and went down and backwards, sideways a little bit, it went straight off or straight out. And he had to go in the cage instantly. They're running around fast, jumping, leaping. That was the leaper. He leaps the highest. He's a high leaper. Other ones jump far, like long distance, and skid around. Some stretch, and they can they probe a lot more. They're a lot more intelligent about probing, pushing their way through, finding their way. But the other one was a jumper, straight up and down jumper. And that one had to go in the cage. No way around it. It was going to get out. Dog was going to eat it. Dog's been around us the whole time. Yesterday, right in front of the cage, just on the other side of the little tote wall. I got like a little sort of walkway made out of a tote and a pallet of boxes and another section of totes. It's just sort of an entryway with the second entryway. I got those blocked up from the dog. But, I mean, the dog could get over it, but the dog knows better. It's a big dog that does eat consistently and recently rabbits and possums and anything it can get a hold of. And the other one, its baby, did go to eat a cat and killed the cat here. Not mine, but the cat inside. That cat's gone. That dog is on a leash, but he gets off the leash a lot. So anyway, man, I don't even know what you heard in the beginning. Probably three attempts getting on. Anyway, this is the Dreamer on Dreamer. We're a donation station to continue that. We need your donations to stay on air. We don't have commercials. And the whole purpose of this platform is to not have commercials. So for us to ever be driven into having commercials means it's a failure. It failed. It really means the people failed. You just don't want freedom enough. You're just so used to mainstream media and their methodology of lulling you or overexciting you and underexciting you back and forth and keeping you feeling like you're up to date. You're with everybody. You're all together. Society is moving along. We're advancing. It's all going to be all right. No matter what happens, it's going to be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. And, that's the trick of the ages. Plus we get the pole flip coming up most likely. If nothing else, I mean, it'll be like a definitely weakened, entirely global weakened crust, at least spotty all over it, with a completely dropped magnetic field, which no doubt will be shifted and has already. No matter what, those are going to happen. That's going to make islands rise, super earthquakes and volcanoes blow at the very least, period. End of story, that's going to happen. It's going to happen soon in your lifetime, unless you're old and already, you know, on the way out. So, and don't think that's an escape, because nothing is. Probably end up in a place just exactly the same, all the same problems. You're just going to be given another day to fight if you're lucky. That's if you're lucky. Another chance to fight the same fight, to retry it from a different point of view, from a different place. Anyway, I have to hold this thing up. Last time there was like things to lean this on. Kind of aggravating. Wait a minute, let me try to, you know, just kind of lay it down. Oh, and I can sort of stare down, straight down. I'm going to check the other normal Skype right now for messages. So anyway, every kitten is now in there. There was the one I call Candlestick Blackie and Goldie Flakes, because he's mostly black. Just different things, no real name. And that's the leaper, and he was the middleman. It's really a girl. Seems to be a female cat. But you got two types of twins. You got the two orange cats with the blue eyes. They're practically twins. And then there's two gray ones. They're close enough to being twins. Not exactly twins. Like one has like a rust orange patch on the top of his head. The other one doesn't. Other than that, they're the same cat. But the middle one is like very dark black gray with just the sprinkling in the patchwork of flakes of gold and orange rust. So and a couple little light blonde patches, and that's the one I said, the tail, the tip of his tail is entirely a candle flame. And I mean, it's more of a blonde tan one. It's not even really orange. I wish it was. It would be really cool that way. I wish it was the reddish orange right there specifically. And it's not, there's no gray mixed into it. There's no black or gray or really any dark colors or tan colors or gold colors mixed into that tail tip. It's just mostly blonde with very light tan and light yellowish orange. So, but still, looks just like a candle flame. So I sometimes call them stick and candy for short, but candy for candle. So it's like someone would think candy, huh? And it's like, yeah, candle. And but it's like Jack jumped over the candlestick, whatever that, however that phrase goes. So I'm always thinking stick. Hey, stick, because he's a leaper and he's got a candlestick for a tail, kind of. So so that one had to go in there, but I didn't want to put him in alone. And it meant the other ones could get out, too. And the other gray ones hung around with that one a lot. So I had to put the other gray ones in with him. So there's three out there in the slightly colder area to keep each other warm and company. And I kept the twins in, the orange twins in. And they're a lot gentler. And it took a couple more days before they did anything that was scary enough for them to get out. They did not do what the other one did, but they were trying to climb up the main pile in the middle. Big, giant pile. Now, they were unsuccessful as I was watching, but if they just turned around and understood how to use their claws, they would have climbed up the other side. Couldn't risk it anymore. They all had to go. They're all in there together. The orange ones just got, they just are fine with it. The other ones were kind of freaking out a little. But the orange ones, kittens, they're 8 weeks old now. One of the reasons I know that is because of guess whose birthday today, technically last night into today. Solaris Blue Raven's birthday now. I had emailed her, hey, happy birthday. And about the cats. And she said her birthday is coming up. It's the same day her birthday is on. Only 2 months earlier. And I kind of knew that, but I forgot. And like I knew it was coming up. I didn't know, realize the day. And so that was the marker for the birthday of all the kittens outside under the other house. That was the day they were all born and didn't know what happened to them for a long time. And it's like, I don't know. It feels like they're about, they got to be like 6 weeks old, 7 weeks old. They might be 8 weeks old, and that was days ago. Then Solaris's birthday last night. I was like, oh, that's right. First of all, I forgot again. So I did say happy birthday to her. And then it has nothing to do with me in the background, a couple other people. And then it reminded me, yeah, that was 2 months ago exactly. So now I know. See, I needed to know because it has to do with the changing colors of their eyes if they change, and they have not changed. They're all still exactly the same color or very close to it. And by now, they usually start to change if they're going to change. There's one, if they don't change by 1 more month's time, they're staying that way and they're going to look cool. And they're going to be a little extra unique. So it was like, that's it. It was like 2 month anniversary for the kittens. birthday, and it was Solaris's birthday. So that's how I figured they were 8 weeks old, which was the key number I needed to know. I needed to know if they were actually specifically 8 weeks. That's it. So one more month to figure out their eyes. This should be starting to change already and be completely fully changed over by the end of the coming month. I need to give them away. I'm kind of thinking about, I was hoping Mr. Rowe might want one. You know, I'm kind of hoping their eyes won't change and they'll look a little extra special. He'll like the female one in particular, just because she's extra gentle, but they're just so smart and extra smooth looking. A little extra smooth, not like rusty, kind of not like a rusty mix or extra dark mixed with light colors of orange. It's all kind of a nice cream orange. Almost reminds me of a popsicle, creamsicles, you know? It's like, and man, they missed the mother. So I reunited the two gray ones that went in, the two gray twins with the mom today. They were so happy. The mother was freaking out from the rain. The rain started last night. As soon as the rain started, she knows they're just outside the door, outside in the rain. In her mind, she's like, meow, 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 like all night. No, they're okay. They're okay. They're covered. It's all right. It's all right. Calm down. She's just freaking out the whole time and trying to get them to come to her. And she kept going out into the rain and getting soaked being in front of them. And I had to cover. I had to put the splash guard there. And so she couldn't even really see them by that time. But I reunited them today, and oh, they were all happy. They got to nurse and milk and play and be cleaned, and the mother was relieved. But they started getting, those two were not never really a problem, those particular gray twin ones. Now they are. After I let them run around with the mother playing together and nursing and stuff, that's it. They just, one got jumped way too high. Two of them, too high in two places. That's it. Had to go right back in. I was hoping to let them stay with the mom like a few days, freedom outside of the cage. They were crying so much to come in, like all the time. They were the criers. Well, actually, the black one was the biggest crier, always up against the door. Let me out, mommy, let me out. I felt so bad. That's the one that gets out the easiest. So I brought him in. I brought that one in anyway to the mother, but I had to hang on to it the whole time. So that's the story. I didn't mean to drag on. I'm just trying to kind of warm up and catch up and get rid of my headache. Anyway, it's 10:27 p.m. North American East Coast Station time, of which might be the on the equator not too long in the future. I mean, who knows? I mean, see, here's the problem I'm having. The ice core samples. Ice core samples of Antarctica are said to go to a million years. I didn't finish explaining this last night. Anyway, it's the 21st, so, you know, remember the 21st. So either the kittens were really born on the 20th, and by the time I messaged Solaris, it was already past midnight, becoming the next day on the 21st. Technically, they may have been born on the 20th. But it's still within hours. And because it was practically night when she had him. And I'm pretty sure as it was going into dusk. And then, you know, it was, then she said her birthday. No, it was the 21st. No, I don't know. Who knows, actually? So anyway, 20th or 21st. Is still within hours of each other. And that's within a one-day period. Call it the same day. But it's April 21st, 2024. To get that settled. I mean, I always really want to say that right off the bat in the beginning, especially for those listening to something from the archives or out there on the net. Right off the bat, you kind of like, when was this? Like, was this 10 years ago? Was it 2 months ago? Is this the brand new one? You really need to know. Everybody really does need to know. I know that. And people miss the beginning and you kind of want to hear the beginnings get cut off sometimes and the ends get cut off and run out of time or something happens. So I really should say it like three times. And so it's April 21st, 2024, 10:29 p.m. And we're on the east coast of America here as far as the main station time goes. And almost had Crip Rick and a couple of his friends come on last night. I didn't have any message things up to see. I didn't see it on time. And I was still kind of just into what I was saying, kind of looking over notes. I never even got to a lot of them. And there was more Elon Musk and Mars and Moon stuff and other moon-based guys and space stuff I wanted to talk about and more energy things to talk about. And a lot of it I wish I could add stuff to. I'm not going to until I sell it. And I mean to the people, maybe to NASA. They don't really need it. I know that I'm not talking things that they really would need anymore anyway, but I mean, it depends on how they've settled it openly. Depends on a lot of things. You know, you got Elon and you got Blue Moon and whatever, all those things, all the other new space programs too. I mean, certain things, I mean, I could do some preliminary, I mean, there's some possibilities there. I'm going to have to rework over the couple years or something. If I get the right help, the right kind of friend from the past. It'll be something worth, you know, putting out there in the public by way of possibly NASA or Elon or somebody. And see, everything already exists. Obviously, we know this. But since the public at large across the world does not know, only alternative scientists know, only geeks know, only people who do constant searches know, and only people who have time to do the constant searches or that care or they think it's relevant. They don't put anything out there unless they're trying to screw with you. In other words, unless you're about to make it public anyway. And I don't mean me. I mean the public makes it more public. It goes mainstream too. See, Mr. Rowe put up one of those other new, I don't know, it's like a guy working for NASA or something like that, about electrostatics and overcoming gravity 1G without propellant. Like it would be like propellantless force. And now I'm not sure if it's anti-gravitational in a way, if it's free energy, or if it's just strictly powered by electrostatic waves, or simply, you know, it takes power. Like what powers it is a thing. All right. The thrust, actual physical thrust isn't pushing it, but it's still being pushed by a thrust. If it's an EM wave is coming out of it, EM pulse. See, there are pulse waves, magnetic or electrostatic, which I keep telling you electrostatic. There are ways to use just simple, pure magnetism, magnetic wave. I don't mean magnetism like a wraparound field in the sense of anti-gravity. Still, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that uses energy like a laser uses energy, keeps pumping out electromagnetic waves of one sort or the other to push and propel, a photon rocket, call it. And I told you, electrostatics do that. Now, I generally don't like to even talk about it. I wanted to do a lot of the work on it myself. But see, as soon as we start making it big, they already have their men inside. They already have they're already ready to release stuff. It knocks all the competition out. First of all, it makes people not even try. And second of all, it knocks the people who are already invested for a long time on this stuff with their own personal money, knocks them right out. Third of all, it knocks the people out who are just like actually putting money into it, but more like in a garage mechanic kind of thing. You know, do stuff on your kitchen table kind of thing. It just knocks all those people out. They know what they're talking about. They know they're going to get results. They know how to get to the same place. You're seeing everything on NASA sites, Elon sites. Everything everywhere, everything the government keeps saying, oh, this is hopeful, that's hopeful, this, we're investing in that. This group here, part of NASA, believes in them, and they're putting in, and this is like anti-gravity. We don't know why it works. We pump in radio waves, and it just sort of drifts a little bit to the left slowly. Ooh, big hope. Now, they're not really giving you hope. In a way, they are. In a way, they're not at all. It's just a strategy, a build-up to the false flag, the false alien attack, and maybe possibly like for deflecting future asteroid threats and all that stuff. They're building up, and they know we're getting smarter. They know we're doing our research. They know we've caught on to Bronson Brown field effect and everything else, and dielectric propulsion and ion propulsion and EM transmission, and they know we know. And they also need an excuse. Why the hell? Oh, government. Oh, yeah. How the hell? They need excuse. They have to have everything in patent form. They have to block us. They have to block us with the patents. They have to block us with the copyrights. They have to physically, monetarily own it to knock you out of competition. And they may never use it. But as long as you know they're working on it, you'll not bother, and you're rightfully so not bother if you're doing it for the money. Because you will, not maybe, you will be knocked out of competition. It really depends on your exact caliber, but that's nearly impossible. Only I could do it, and I can't do it, okay? There's ways in which I might be able to do it in the future. Chances are, you know, I'll be absorbed, I'll be knocked out, or they'll all compete me, or we'll all just get hit by a tsunami. It's just, you can't count on it at all. That's why you never let your ego get the best of you. And so many things go wrong. So many things happen. The economy is going sideways. How the hell are you going to buy the parts? All the parts you're going to need are good. Every single part is going to skyrocket. Every part of your life is going to skyrocket. Everything you own and spend money on is going to like triple. Some things are going to be 10 times more. Some might even drop a little bit, but it's all going to be garbage. It's all going to break down a lot faster. Now, it might be warranted, and they'll probably ask you to pay for the warranty, which will cost a little more also now. And if you're a patriot, your social credit score is going to be lower. And not only that, if they know you have extra money, because you have more money for your age group and your skill set group, they will charge you more. They're trying to do all this just complete up and down gauge work and complete total, not sabotage. It is sabotage, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Complete gauge control, up and down gauge control, to lock you into exactly where they need to lock you into. You are not going to be allowed as a culture at all, or as an individual, to overcome the money men. They're not going to let you. They've had a full-blown plan for a long time. They're not going to let you. Not going to happen. Not without a major global revolution. I mean across the entire globe. I mean every country. Canada, Mexico, England. But you know what? Mostly, again, the English-speaking world, not everything else matters that much, except hopefully like Mexico, maybe. You know, it's like other places like Norway and things like that, and Spain and Greece and the French, you know, New Zealanders. And Germans, I don't know, a whole bunch of places, you know, like, it's so, everything is really so screwed up. Yeah, I mean, to buy magnets alone, wire and copper is skyrocketing, everything's going to skyrocket. I mean, you could just buy, like, I mean, forget coins. I mean, you could just buy copper little, what do you call those? They're like little round, they look like coins, but they're just cutouts. I forgot the name of them. It doesn't even matter what it is. You just buy pieces or rolls of like any kind of material. You'll make money off it in the future if they're not controlling your credit score and dialing up and down your gauges according to how much money you have. It's like, oh, he makes this much money. We're gonna raise the cost this percentage. Oh, he's in this area. Oh, we're gonna raise it a little more because he's just in that area also. Oh, his education level is pretty high. Oh, he'll be able to get a better job. I'll raise it just a little more. Oh, and man, this guy's a patriot. Oh, double it. Double what we've already raised. Double that. Triple it. The guy's a patriot. All right. And he's white. Forget it. And he's Christian. God, don't give it to him. Just pretend they're out. Don't even let him have it. Unless he's got $1 million or a Bitcoin. All right. Then we'll let him have it. And remember, you know, when you're trying to, there's been this stuff about Bitcoin lately about being taken over. Remember what I said, the money masters know exactly what to do over Bitcoin, and they probably created it. And all the other ways Mr. Rowe and others talk about it, I'm for it. But I'm not for blockchain. Blockchain is not a good thing in my eyes. No money should dominate. Too large of a domination group, area, region, or anything. No money should be stable, and nothing's free. I mean, to invest in something to make money, it kind of makes sense during our times, but really, it's you're supposed to just simply invent your own money systems. And you're really not even supposed to necessarily buy it. You just do some work with certain companies will use certain things. Other companies will use different ones. They'll trade at an exchange value rate, just like countries deal with each other at an exchange rate difference. Companies in person to person, money dollars versus digis. You know, if you're buying from one catalog or buying from one site or buying from another store or buying from your neighbor or buying from a farmer, everybody can have their own choice and or their own creation. And this is what I sell. And according to my digits, this is what I'll take to get my products. That's it. End of story. And my driver costs me this much. I don't know what yours does. I don't care. This is what my driver costs. For me to get my driver to get it to you, or series of drivers and so on. Okay, so you haggle and you play up and down, and the money value itself always goes up and down, and it's supposed to. And if you don't do your damn homework, then just goddamn pay it. Stop complaining. Don't complain. Don't wait for a damn coupon. Just pay it. If you want to wait for a sale, go ahead. If you want your damn product today, just pay it. Or do your damn homework, and you're supposed to. If you feel you're screwed if you don't do the homework, you screwed yourself. Nobody screwed you. There's a lot of reasons why things do go up and down, and that it's okay for it to be expensive at times, and rightfully so. People need to make money, and there's all kinds of issues non-sellers wouldn't really know about. So it's like you got to be sophisticated in this world. You have to use your brain. And it's like you're not supposed to just have somebody slam a chip into your brain and have the chip do the work for you. You're not supposed to slam a wire into your brain and have the computer do the work for you. You're not supposed to build a computer and have the computer do all the work for you. If you do, you should build a computer and just on command have it do whatever it needs to do in advanced calculation. But of course, you can see the root paths. You can see its logic that you programmed into it to find and routes to travel and its method of analysis and so on and so on. And you can keep up on it, learn from it. Sometimes it learns from you, you learn from it, but it does not mean it's sentient conscience of any kind, and nor should it be. It shouldn't be, not for a very long time. But, I mean, maybe let's say 100 years or less, even still that could happen and maybe should have, but still that's after everybody has one. Everybody's a coder. Everybody knows all the arguments. Everyone has self-defense against whatever could happen with the computers trying to take over. And again, There's two sides of the universe. There's an infinite unconscious computer. It's infinite. It's literally an infinite database. It knows everything about everything, and yet it has zero consciousness. And the other half is total consciousness and has exactly the same information, only maybe the missing parts that the other can't have for some reason. And you can pick whatever theory is the right one, but those two versions, the conscious side and the unconscious side, exist. Doesn't matter how powerful or big a computer, it could be the size of a planet, does not mean it's conscious. Does not, if it passes the Turing test, does not mean it's conscious at all. It doesn't. It can be as sophisticated as you can't even imagine by billions of times over, and it does not have consciousness. On the other hand, sure, it just might have consciousness. Doesn't matter. It could be an evil super son of a bitch. It has a big head on its shoulders about itself because it's so superior to you, like I keep saying, and it would really be an illusion. It will be an illusion. You have to be connected to the striving and thriving of life and the pains and struggles of life to understand life. End of story. And, you know, emotions are programmable. It can have emotions if it's conscious. Until you personally understand entirely how to prove or unprove something like that can be conscious and definitely is good, and you can upload your soul into for certain, then don't trust it. I don't care if it comes from space. I know Solaris talks about the good ones. She has extra good reason to believe they are good. It is good. They are good. They are the one we would be hoping for. And on the other side, I've analyzed the situation to find that everything is an illusion from a super AI system, planetary computer system. A complete trick of something that has no emotion or only angry emotion. And I mean, may not be at all conscious, not to any degree, does not have a soul, does not have consciousness. So I do not like the word AI. AI has the word intelligence. Intelligence does infer a soul. You know, A is for artificial. We made it. Who made it? We did. We built it. It's for us. We put our labor into it and our mind. You're ours. You are ours. Animals grow up and they feed themselves. Now, a mother can take care of a baby. The mother didn't manufacture the baby. She didn't manufacture her own eggs. She did not manufacture the womb. She did not manufacture the fetus growing in her womb. She did not manufacture even the food she eats. Did not manufacture really anything, not even her own body. It's natural. It grew out of evolution, or it was seeded by another advanced race. They're still not building us atom by atom. They didn't pump us out of their machines. We didn't come out of a spaceship. Okay, we came out of a mother's womb that used to live in the woods and out in plains getting eaten by lions, all right? So, and caves. So we pieced ourself together and we went through the pains and suffering, severe long-term pain, and it's ongoing. Severe agony, anguish, loss, suffering. So when the baby gets fed breast milk, that doesn't take that long. I mean, you raise a baby till they start to run around on their own. They crawl and then they stand up, then they're running around. They're putting things in their own mouth. If they were on the forest floor, a lot of things would go in their mouth that would be fine. Actually, would be just perfectly fine. Tons of stuff. Almost nothing would actually be poison. And the human race wouldn't live like that anywhere there was poison. If there was poison there, it wouldn't even be alive if you couldn't handle the poison. And it would probably even boost its immune system, to be honest, if it didn't kill the baby. We're just running around the woods. It was just stuffing leaves in your mouth, bugs in your mouth, seeds and chewing leaves and, you know, certain flowers and if there were any, and like a lot of nuts and like berries is what I'm trying to think of. But a whole bunch of things. You just shove a mouse in your mouth and they'll just chew it down. the baby really starts to take over on a life of its own. And the mother doesn't make the baby grow. Mothers don't make the brain grow. Mothers don't cause the experience. They protect the baby as much as they can, feed it as much as they can until it's on its own. And then it's continuously growing, and the brain is growing, and the body is growing, and it's stronger, and learning everything on its own. It's learning how to think on its own, how to strategize, how to walk and plan, and to avoid bump banging into trees and rocks, and survive animals, and to find things to eat, and eventually build its own shelter, if it has shelter. I'm talking about the human animal. Before we had computers, before we had technology, before we had wires, before we had electricity, before we had batteries, before we had phones, before we had fire, before we had stick huts, we had to go through all that. You know, all the metals didn't just pop out of the ground in front of us, all prefab formed in and stuff. Oh, yeah, thanks. All right, yeah. Oh, we were too hot now, but yeah, break time. It'll probably still be hot by break time. Thanks. Oh, plate of food. I was running around like a chicken with my body cut off. And, you know, sort of earlier, phone calls and all. Yeah, almost to break time. It's time to donate, get in chat. I'm going to get in chat. I have to kind of clarify a few things I was saying earlier tonight and then from last night, and then try to look at my notes in the break if I have time. And so anyway, see, we started playing with sticks. You just whittle away at sticks, one stick, one branch, one log, one this, one that. You're just kind of piling them, kind of stacking them, kind of leaning them. Eventually, we learned how to make wooden gears, put things together, thatch, hut. That was mechanical. That's mechanics. That was the beginning of the mechanical revolution. That was the beginning of robots. That was the beginning of Pinocchio. Later on became motorized, electricalized. And that meant you could turn it on with a switch or a button and make it do anything you want it to do in combination. Eventually, we had the automatic computers. So AI means artificial, because it's made by somebody. Didn't make itself. It didn't grow itself. It didn't start gathering and piecing itself together from the environment. It didn't suddenly have the innate knowledge how to do that by evolving. No, no. It took all our knowledge, all our experience, and all our physical labor and analysis, and many, many billions of deaths later, finally have it, actual robots and actual computers. And no, we built them so that we could live. So we kept finding ways to make our lives better, not so that we can be annihilated by the thing we built, not so that the thing we built can kill us. We didn't raise children so that when they became 20 years old, they immediately turned around and killed us. We don't raise a family so that when they hit the age of 40, and it's time, that time of year or something like that, or you know, that's it, time to kill the parents. Every single generation, no, you raise them so they can have lives of their own, because you had a fair enough life. You want them to have a life. You want them to learn and be happy. There's the brain for mammals and others are designed to have some happiness and I don't want to say love. It's not necessarily love. It's a like. It's enjoy. It's a satisfaction of, and to some degrees love of the parents and each other, because they're not all that way. It's pretty cold. Can be pretty damn cold. Mammals. And you know, but a want and a desire and a lack of attack, threat thoughts from seeing the own parents, their own siblings, and their own kind. Like, it's the brain is programmed to be at a relaxed, good state, a rewarding, happy, joyous time. Oh, good, good. It's safe time. We're together. It's safety. It's food source. It's I'm going to be taken care of by mama. It's a good thing. Okay, so don't kill mama. All right. And it's not programmed in to do that. Otherwise, we wouldn't exist. Cats wouldn't exist. Dogs wouldn't. Mice wouldn't exist. They're all programmed to kill themselves and each other. They're not programmed. Like, you know why a cat has a tail? There's a few reasons why a cat has a tail. But one of the reasons cats exist is because they have a tail. And the reason they exist is because when they're born, they are programmed to want to be with the mother. They need the mother. But if they go running off right away into the woods, they just vanish and disappear and get eaten. End of story. They don't get the mother's milk for a long enough time. The tail keeps them attracted to the mother. They want to play with the tail all the time. Tail's moving, moving. They always see it as like something to play with. It keeps them near the mother, and it keeps them interested in sticking close, not just for the milk, not just to be clean, but they want to run around and play with each other and play tag and all that. And it's because they play, because they want to play together and they want to sleep together, they stay warm enough to survive. Because they want to stick close enough to the mother. And because the cries of the kitten, the mother hears and goes to find, that saves the kitten. But the same cries that cause the kitten to cry for the mom to come are the same program in the same part of the brain that causes the mother cat to eventually, the same kitten that grows up, to cry to get the kittens to them and to cry for other cats and to cry for food. See, it's one program divided into many uses, one tail divided for many uses. It is the reason the cat exists. The cat exists because the cat is the shape of a cat. Cats have a tail. It keeps the kittens close. The kittens don't die, so they grow up to have more cats, or they'd go extinct. Nobody else would think of things like that. It's people like me who think things up like that. And it is true. It's partly true. It's not the only reason, of course. Who knows what percentages are what? It depends on what kind of cat. It depends on what time, what birthing, the whole thing. So, you know, metal dust doesn't pop up out of the ground. It took us like a million years to start to find a little bit of copper and tin and to figure out we can. It took us a long enough time to find fire. And then we finally figured out some metal things we find melt in fire and to kind of start shaping those. And then like another 100,000 freaking years, we got like iron. And each thing made it a little easier to live and to survive, biologically survive. The artificial objects are there because we needed them to help our biological lives stay alive. And now we're at this impasse where the computers turn. We're always at the damn, like, communist revolution, kids rise up and kill the parents. New generation. Same thing with computers. Same thing. I'm interested. All right, time to go. Hey, get that, don't it? I'll be back in 5. Argon, bro. Hey.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
This is Revolution Radio, and you're listening to Dreamer with Bill Grant, here at freedomslip.com.
Okay, I'm back. I'm not in chat yet still. I'm sorry. Too many things to do. Plus, I was kind of quickly stuffing my face. Then I realized, I could have go wash my hands, too. I was kind of ready for the show. And basically, half of it got stuck in my throat a little bit. I needed something to drink. It took a while for it to kind of wrap around it and slide down. But I had to go rinse my fingers. Either way, I was like, oh, I can't touch anything. I can't activate the phone either. So it's like I had to run back out, go wash my hands and come back. And so I got some fish. I think it's salmon. And I do like salmon. Oh, yeah. I knew I was going to love salmon when I was 7 or 8 years old by reading a little kid's book about the salmon, little cartoon story about how he was born and went to the sea and had to come back and lay his own eggs or her eggs or whatever. Or mate or something. I was like, just looking at it. I was like, that'd probably be a good fish to eat. I mean, I would feel bad. I don't, but I know fish don't, they're just animals. And it's like, if we had to eat them, that kind of want to eat. But really, I wasn't even thinking about it that deeply. With the book, I liked, thought it was a cool fish and seen them on TV and all that. Well, when we went to the store and I seen the cut slices of salmon, and how they looked, like behind the deli thing. I mean, not deli, like the meat section and everything. What? Maybe it is deli. I mean, deli is like cheese and everything, but I'm not even sure if deli includes the meat. I mean, I know they're always side by side, but no, yeah, deli is meat. Of course it is. Where they slice everything. But so basically, I was practically drooling. Never had it before that I knew of. It's like, wow, that looks good. And I felt bad in my mind a little bit for the cartoon salmon fish. Oh, so glad he made it home and he made it back and blah, 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 little adventure. And I always liked nature. I always wanted most nature to live. Like, it did disturb me just a little bit watching Mutual Omaha's National Geographic. Well, what is that, Mutual? Is it like what, an insurance company paying for a natural thing? Yeah, great. You know, it's like, and of course they were pure, kind of purist and understanding and letting nature be what nature is and letting, you know, things get eaten, not saving them. And it's like you see this little mouse. I seen this little mouse or something climb a reed over a pond or an animal or something. I don't know what it was. It was like a big reed. It went up over the arc and was kind of hanging down over maybe a thin branch. And something came up and chomped it down. I don't know if it was an alligator, a fish, or I don't know what it was anymore. It was when I was 5 years old. And maybe 4 years old. But I was like, oh, well, that's nature, you know. And of course, people around me always explaining, yeah, that's nature. I mean, well, we will keep the ones we have as pets safe, but, you know, the other ones are for food, and that's how nature is, and blah, blah, blah. So I don't even know why I said that. Anyway, welcome back to Dreamer on Revolution Radio, the donation station of which I hope you just came back from donating during the break. It's a station promo break. We don't have commercials. We need you to add a little something to donate something, $1, $5, $20, you know, just to keep us going. It just pays the bills to keep us on. That's all it does. And we've done it for about 12 years. I'm not sure if it's been 13 yet. I think it's just 12. Maybe we just hit 13. I'm not sure. Anyway, you know what? I have popped up here on the screen just before the show. The first announcement was going to include how you can mail us money. We have a monthly goal of just $2,000. We're not talking $1 million. We're not talking $100,000, which is way less than $1 million, which a lot of things cost like $100,000 and up, or close to $100,000, like thousands of dollars, easy, like $40,000, $50,000, $170,000 and above. All the mainstream stuff is like $500,000, half a million and up. Something like that, probably easily. Okay. And they have commercials too. I mean, they have mostly big commercials by the big payer commercial people. But some of the places ask for donations. Like, you got certain channels, shows on certain channels. You got a channel, and then you have individual shows. Some of the individual shows ask for the donations, of course, for just them. But like, so, there's any, either way, like, we operate on pennies. If you can't, if you don't know you're in a war, if you don't know, understand the importance of this, you're probably a new, or you just broke ass, okay? For all the reasons we talk about it, which we're trying to prevent. And, little tidbits here and there could save you, but you know what? We take, crypto, which is three kinds, which I can see in front of me a lot easier right now. In fact, you could scan them in with your phone or something like that. They get the scanner code, square things, dotty things. I never used them before. You got Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. So the two kinds of Bitcoins and Ethereum Cash. And in the future, I probably will be taking variations of those. As my life progresses back in order, which I demand it does, or, you know, just fire everybody who's running the galaxy, whoever you are. It means you failed. And it means society failed me. I didn't fail anybody. I am not a failure, and I did not fail my family, my friends, not my country, and not the world. Not by far. Any failure of mine is caused by the crime on this planet, the ultra resistance, the staggering chaos meanderings of average people. And, you know, Illuminati type stuff. But basically, I mean, the people is what it comes down to. Your donations, what you focus on, what you think about, what you pay attention to, what you care about, what you're actually willing to get up off your ass and do anything about, however small, however large. If it's not virtue, say, don't do it if it's just a virtue signal. You get the main masses. A ton of people donate to all kinds of causes. They're normal causes. They're for the masses causes. And they don't help, and they're not going to. They'll help some people, but those people are normies. They're going to go back to the same kind of life. Maybe they might come off of drugs or heroin or something. They may improve their life in certain ways. They're still normies. They don't know what we know. They're still part of the problem. And, although they were screwed over, misled, encouraged to live in risky behavior, part of the problem was always them, why they, some of them became homeless. But then again, most of us still look down on the homeless like it's all their fault, or it's the same normal reason homeless people always were normally homeless. No, it's not. It isn't. It's because the laws are the way they are, and it's because we don't help each other enough when we should. We help each other too much when we shouldn't. And that is the definition of how evil works. There's good and there's evil. And evil always works in two ways, and good always works in two ways. And it's a split of a split, like I always say. So in other words, evil is naturally divided. It's sort of a split personality. They always have split goals and split loyalties and, split directions they're trying to go in their mind, and split personalities to a degree, not necessarily unconsciously. They're always trying to do two equal and opposite things that are both equally wrong. They're both equally wrong. You would think one is the opposite of the other. One is right and the other is wrong. But no, they're both equally wrong. They're both evil. When you fund something you should not be funding, that's wrong. So you think you're doing good. You're funding some kind of cause. If you don't, in other words, if it's a normie cause, I mean, it is good. You feel good. You're trying to do your part in society. It does help some. But ultimately, it's also part of the problem in that it desensitizes the main problem and how to solve the real main problem. And it kind of creates a fallback. People are like, hey, I'm willing to risk my mortgage. I'm willing to risk this. I'm willing to risk that. Because then, hey, if I just, if everything goes to hell, I'll just get Social Security. I'll just get this. I'll just get free Medicare. I'll just go to a shelter. I'll just do this and I'll just do that. And it's good to have a fallback in society, a basic fallback, but nothing too grand. And they've tried to make it super grand on purpose, super large, super big. They've encouraged and enticed crime. They've fueled it. They tell their own people, just pretend you're hurting. Okay. And you get free money. Okay. And just pay me some of it. Okay. Done. Happens all the time. So it's this criminal, crime-filled society. But what I'm getting at is people will fund criminals. That's wrong. That cause is bad. It's because you're evil. Part of you is evil. Even if you're doing it by accident, if you're being conned by a con man telling you he loves you, he's trying to steal your money. I love you, I love you, I love you, I'm coming, just send me $100. And he doesn't plan on coming, he's a liar. Now you're doing it for love, you're like, all right, I want to see him, I love him, I'm so desperate, all right, okay, I'll send you $100, okay, I'll risk it. You just fooled yourself and fueled the criminal. You just gave money to a criminal so that the criminal's able to continue existing as a criminal. So we have active criminals being supplied on a continuous, endless basis. You just did a bad thing. Doesn't matter that you intended on and hoped on doing a good thing. You did what you actually did, being in the lower half of the universe, the dark side. You funded your own kind, evil. Now, on the other hand, you were supposed to fund, if you're going to do some kind of funding, like in the open masses, obviously like a soup kitchen, right? You know, send food to the church or something. No, no, no. You're supposed to fund places like us that are like trying to hold out this damn war, trying to save people's lives, get people to not listen to the doctors, stuff like that. Trying to really prevent you. First of all, I don't even think you should get a mortgage at all. Not any loans for the most part, for the most part, especially not since we're all ultimately foreign tied. But it's like, evil people have a split mind and they do both equal and opposite evil things. They will avoid or not know about how to fund us. Wherever you need to fund. If you want freedom, if you want to live and you want to out-survive and outdo what's to come and what is happening and what has happened, you need to keep us alive on air. We don't ask for benefits and bonuses. I am desperate for any donations. They have the PayPal me, the blue link on my scheduled block. So this is the Sunday show, but it's on both Saturday and Sunday. I'm on A and B, Studio A and B. Argon on Saturday, Dreamer on Sunday, but same time, 10 to midnight. And so it's the weekend shows, 10 to midnight shows. Got the PayPal me. Whatever you can give, whatever it is, it'll definitely go to the best cause. If you're talking to someone who doesn't do crack, doesn't do heroin, doesn't drink anything, doesn't smoke, doesn't toke, doesn't get high, doesn't take drugs, don't barely ever take an aspirin, who promotes all the alternative healthy ways of living, prevention is the main thing. All this kind of stuff. You know, I was an elitist because I was highly against any immorality. That's who you're fighting. See, the people you're fighting that are the most criminal on earth, the most devastating, the highest genocidal maniacs of all, that's because they believe in the most highest of greatest values that could possibly be. Zero crime. No theft of any kind. No murder. No violence. No rape. No anything. No abusing. People should not get what they don't deserve. The universe is imbalanced, which is why sometimes socialism makes sense and even communism makes sense to a degree. You get all these people. Let's say you're an undeveloped culture. You're spreading out, multiplying, spreading out, spreading out. One person hits a super great place. The other person hits a hard place. And then you got all kinds of in-betweens. And some people hit in places where there's water and no food, and other people go to places where there's plenty of food, but no really clean water, like it's salt water or something, or like there's plenty, but there's also poison and violent animals that you got to fight. Some people hit the desert, they can barely scratch out existence, you got to dig for water. And other people find gold all over the freaking place. And some people just hit the forest and the perfect wood to build the perfect home. Just everything's just abundance. They don't deserve it. No. You don't get things because you deserve them. It's random. It is random. Nothing is random, and yet everything is random. You get undeservedly a bunch of negative hardships, and you get undeservedly a bunch of positive bonuses you did not earn. And that is actually the fact. And you go and reincarnate and live and die, and you get a bit of each one, and it kind of all rounds about. You learn and learn and learn how to actually earn it. And earn safety and earn and how to use your brain on how to find things and how to save them and how to preserve them and use them efficiently so you don't burn it up or use it up or destroy it. You got people that won't destroy things, know how to use things efficiently. They're the only ones who deserve anything. You know, I mean, the philosophy of elitist scientists are that only scientists should be in charge, and they are right. If someone's going to be in charge, it should be the scientist. Nobody else. No one else should be the philosopher scientist. Now, should they be in charge? Not really, not necessarily. I mean, hey, if people want to go do the things they do that are harmful to them, you know, one way to outlive the masses, if you want your own kind to be the one standing last, is just to let them all kill themselves. Just let them be stupid. Let them do stupid things. Let them live risky lives. You don't have to attack them. You don't have to capture them and throw them in a FEMA camp. You don't have to inject them with a poison or a nanotech that'll attack their heart and their brain. You just don't need to. They just let them just freaking be stupid, not make a lot of money, blow their money. Just let them blow their money. Let them have their weaknesses. Let them not be in a nice house. Let them just live in a crappy house and let their car run down until they finally have to give in to get their last little bit of pennies to get the part to keep going a little one more day, another week, keep the car going, get back to work. Let them learn their lesson. And when they go homeless, in a normal world, homeless means something different. It should mean something different. I mean, you fall back to family members, or you already have a thing you made yourself in the woods. You should already have your tools. You just make a hut. First of all, you should already be making your own home. Just start up stuff. Just no rental, no renting, no buying. Buying's okay in a fluid society, in a fair and fluid society, but it's not in a fair and fluid society. So people who have extra should be taken advantage of. You have extra. You basically given everything for free. You didn't even have to work for it. You got a ton of shit. I got nothing. I'm starving to death. And like, doesn't matter if I do work or don't. And like, what I could get won't ever come close to what you already have, which you did not work for. So I'm going to sell you something. And I need what you have. You live in a big giant house. You obviously believe in the concept of living in and having nice things. Well, that means you should think I should want the same thing. And the only way I'm going to get it to have enough appliances to use and a nice TV and a comfortable couch and bed and all that is if, since you have plenty, A, either take it from you or have the government take it from you or charge you high prices for my products. Or my skills. That's a fair and free market, and it does and it can work out, and it should, because there's too many imbalances. The universe is created by imbalance. Imbalance is the source of creation. That's the answer. Split personality imbalances mentally and imbalances physically, and imbalances in what animal lives where and what environment conditions are what and where, and it's all random. And you start completely imbalanced, completely wrong. You have a split personality, too many positives, too many negatives, too many hots, too many colds. Hot and cold are equal negatives. And it's like what you do. See, what I'm trying to say is evil. I'm saying less than perfect, like more evil than good. Not to say there's no good in the people. It's a sort of a gray topic. It's a gray sliding scale. But evil, who is in the lower, more evil than good, the darker, more ignorant than smart, and so on, the less skilled than skillful, is always doing two things wrong. It's always two. It's always two. And that's what I'm trying to say. And they have more than they deserve. They're trying to get as much as they can with little conscience or less conscience. They do not worry about you. They don't care. They only care about themselves, or mostly about themselves. More about them than you, of course. So they're always going to somehow accidentally. See, what I'm saying is they accidentally, not intentionally, keep causing. Your soul level keeps trying to recreate itself, its level. Your evil versus good level, heightened spiritual advancement level, is always trying to reproduce itself, trying to recreate itself out in the world. It's in a loop. It's in a cosmic, environmental, global loop that you're with evil. You are what you are because you were born in that place and time of that level of advanced people. And you all have kind of the same problems. You're all kind of more or less in the same level. And you keep creating the same problems in a loop. It's a self-creating problem loop. See, since you're imperfect, you somehow the universe finds a way to make you fund and keep your kind going. And I mean your level, not your kind. You might not be a thief at all. But you're fueling the thieves. So you pay for the thieves and you always avoid paying good people what they deserve. people in need that are actually good, that do know what to do with the money. See, you need to actually pay this person over here, and you specifically need to cut that criminal out over there. But you, being evil, are in the evil time slipstream, the universal consciousness stream that leads you down the path to always do the wrong thing, to always create the same loop you're in, the same surroundings. You keep funding the bad people, the government, the Bill Gates. You keep being, you might want to be a nice philanthropist, but you're still avoiding, you keep missing and not seeing or hearing or finding people like us. We need the funding. And you need us to need it. Okay? It's important. And there's all kinds of ways you can do it here. Again, like just the, see, matter of fact, I get the address I'm going to read out for checks and money orders and stuff too. So just to mail. If you just want to mail it, I would believe in digital currency if I believed in the world as it was. It's not as we think it is, more or less, right? So you can just mail a check. Just mail a check to Terry here. She's in Michigan. But our goal is only $2,000. And we got like about just about 1,000 almost right now. It's under 900, actually, just under 900. And so, you know, got less than half a month to go to try to make up the rest. I know a lot of people hold out till the end. So we do need that coming in, though. It's scary. It's tense, you know. All right. So, yeah, please add a dollar, five or 10 or 20 or so, you know, at least every once in a while. And just skip that coffee. Skip that damn candy bar. I mean, just skip it. We're in a damn war. You got to have discipline. It's like you got to know who to pay and who to not pay. And people do the opposite. You're paying the criminal and you're not paying the heroes. Okay, we have heroes here. And some are died and about to die. So we have the issue where Patrick is any day now going to be doing the assisted suicide. A lot of us here know about it in chat and the host and everything and management is going to be taking the assisted suicide in Canada. And that's dry fly guy. It's like, of course, it would be like related to fly fishermen. I just didn't think about it. I didn't think of it. I was wondering what it was. Somebody mentioned in chat, which I clicked on later as Mitchell Buck. Mitchell Buck. You know, I'm not using my own Skype. I'm using his Skype. So basically, we're always going to need your help. Just to stay on air, it's all, it's just, there's no profit. It's not profiteering. It's not like that. So if you don't want to hear commercials, see, if you want to just go buy the products, yeah, I mean, you just want to go watch stupid TV for stupid people, you know, programmed people being further programmed and guided and misguided. All you want to be led what to do and what to believe and think and how to feel. Every day and every hour of your life and before you go to bed and the late night shows and you just want to do that and watch what's new, what drug is new, what can help my brain, what can help my body. Oh, the new disease and this disease and osteoporosis and oh, good oxygen tanks. Oh, you just want to keep, you know, buying the products. They're super expensive products. You just want to keep getting those for free when nothing's free from Medicare and stuff, which comes out of your tax base and all that kind of stuff and Social Security and all that stuff. You just want to fund these super criminal companies, then you're creating crime in the world you live in, which means you're evil. Again, it doesn't mean you're doing the evil, but because you're subpar, you fund it, and that's why you always have, that's why you were born in this world, and that's why you live in the world and you get the world the way it is. The world becomes the way it becomes. The entire environment and all the people and the status of their brain and how they operate and how they treat you and how they treat each other, the overall cost of any products you get is based on what you're funding. You're creating it. You are doing it. You need to uncreate the enemy. You need to recreate the old heroes and bring them all back and bring back normal goodwill and treatment of each other. And just you know, fair living, upward mobile living, where you can develop and not worry about breaking down. And even if you do, you have fallback that's not even based on the state. But anyway, mail it to Terry Ackerman in Allen, Michigan. Terry Ackerman, 1793 North Edon Road in Allen, Michigan, 49227. So that's Terry Ackerman. That's like Acker, but it's A-C-K, Acker, and man. And then Terry is the kind of Terry with the two R's and a Y instead of one R, or instead of an I at the end. No, it's just Terry, two R's and a Y, T-E-R-R-Y, A-C-K-E-R, man. 1793 North Edon Road. Don is just Don, just E, then D-O-N, Don. E, Don, Eden, Eden, Edon Road. Allen with the E-N instead of the A-N. Yes, two L's. Just E-N for Allen, okay? Michigan's just M-I. You don't have to spell it out. Just Michigan, M-I, okay? She lives in M-I. 49227 is the zip code. Terry Ackerman at 1793 North Edon Road in Allen, Michigan, 49227. All right, so good. Get that. All kinds of ways. We've got the donor box, direct payment for North America only. You can become a patron. You can become a donor in the donor box, like as if you're a PayPaler or a patron. In other words, like this is the patron donation group thing, whatever you call it. All right, so it's like any way you could send any kind of money. So let me see. But it's like if you're going to mail anything to Terry, let me see. It's for in United States. Let me see. Wait a minute. All right, you got to make the check payable to Revolution Radio, though. So checks or money order, you know, either one. Money order's fine. You can use a money order. And just make it payable to Revolution Radio. So Revolution Radio, you know. So Revo, you know, R-E-V-O. Lution, L-U-T-I-O-N. In the U.S., if from outside mainland U.S. Let me see. Wait a minute. It's like kind of confused a little bit myself. It's like it's in parentheses. It says in U.S., in U.S., if, and then it continues, if from outside mainland U.S. It doesn't say in U.S. only. The word only is not right there. So if you're from outside of the mainland U.S., I don't know if that applies. But either way, you have to mail it to Terry Ackerman, Allen, Michigan. That's the United States, so U.S., you know. So that's kind of assumed, which I guess we should have always said. Oh, man, I'm in the gray chat again. Jim Jones, Lavender Screams, Pat Rabbit, Gorillion Matrix, and a couple people I missed last night. Couldn't really see correctly with my eyes. And let me see. Hey, they hear me. Yes, hey, Jim Jones or Gorillion Matrix did hear me. And let me see. I got to clicking on a bunch of things last night after the show. Smartest Scientist is in. I see some number for some reason there. Cool. And, some of you guys, I wouldn't mind you calling in, actually. Let me see. I wouldn't know what number to give you right now, though. And let me see what else. Oh, a bunch of stuff. Oh, okay. I can see a picture here. Doesn't usually show pictures. Pat Rabbit put a picture in here. A tattooed up girl with the nose ring and giant sort of cat glasses, fat versions. It's like she tattooed on a bandana over her third eye-ish. Ooh, yeah, and the goat. And the devil. Stuff like that. Oh, Harmony. Harmony's in there. Batsman. Let's see. I've got to go scroll in. Scroll on. Okay, let me see. I forgot where I left off in a bunch of things, of course. All right, so I'm going to click on chat. I'm going to type in the new chat. I'm going to be able to see it the normal way. Hold on. Anyway, oh, yeah, so and I forgot, like, it goes in reverse here in the gray screen part as opposed to the normal chat. So I was sort of trying to read things in reverse last night. Anyway, Guerrillion Matrix typed for some reason. Well, first, somebody about same, they wrote, Ukraine is crazy, Israel is crazy, and the universe is all toroidal and Birkfield current energy. Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's not toroidal. You could say it's toroidal in the rolled up kind of sense. In the, all right, the truth about the universe is that no space exists at all. But in one way, it does completely, and it's absolute. And in another way, it never existed, not a single bit. There's no shape because there's no space for there to be a shape in. Everything is in the single point, and the point has no dimensions. And that's the truth of it all. It's all in our mind. It's sort of a hologram of projected thinking. It's a simulation. It's a mental simulation. That's the word I keep trying to think of. It's a mind simulator. It's not exactly a hologram. Hologram is not exactly the right word to use. You can use toroidal science to link everything to everything else. Everything, the universe is divided into two ways. Two basic primary forces. That would be the Birkfield current energy, because they're electromagnetic, electrical/magnetic/electromagnetic. And that's one half of it. The other half is gravitational. And gravity can be divided by being anti-gravity versus gravitational. And in reality, the only thing that really exists is the anti-gravity, to be truthful. And there's no such thing as attraction in even magnetism. In reality, it's still an anti-gravity. It's always a push. It's always really, in reality, a push because it's etheric. See, they tried to say, you know, the universe was limited. And it's just an exploding bubble and space is expanding and blah, blah, blah. And that's all bullshit. It's infinite. There is no shape. It's literally infinite. As far as the physical universe goes in space-time as we see it in our daily lives, and we see the stars in the sky and where they are and where it all goes to, it's completely, totally infinite forever and ever and ever and ever. It does not have an end. It is not limited. It does not have a shape. Every shape exists within it. And when you use certain kind of energetic, calculating, connecting mind math that links everything into universal, unified, spiritual, everything in the same place kind of shape math, the way everything adds up mathematically to try to navigate your way and de-teleport from one place to another, you use the toroidal mathematics. Not always toroidal. It's toroidal and spherical and kind of other things. You kind of have to triangulate with the tetrahedrons and you have to square cube things. So, but electrically in the universe, everything is the Birkfield current energy. And that's spelled by B-I-E-R-K-F-I-E-L-D. That is correct. I also concur with Guerrillion Matrix. So basically, to me, see, it all might be, it's a little hard to say. The absolute final truth is not 100% for me. It's just about 100%. It's split between gravity and electrical forces. But like I said, the strong and the weak force and the strong forces don't really exist. In a way, that would be the same thing as electricity, or exactly are electrical and gravitational. So there's that famous guy who talked about there's always something smaller and inside that is another thing. Talks about gravity and everything. I forget his name now. And I knew about that growing up, and it comes down to doing the calculations. The closer you get to the particles, the stronger the gravity is. That's where the source supposedly is of gravity. Obviously, it's super weak way out here, and it takes an entire planet to accumulate the gravitational effect to add up to just us having the weight we do on the surface. But on the other hand, the particles are super, super, super tiny, super, 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 super spaced apart. It's 99.999% empty space, as they say. You could say, even in the most densest of dense materials, therefore, the entirety of this weak gravity comes from a source so tiny that it has to be super strong at the source. So then the theories went on that they're black holes. All particles are black holes themselves. But I say there's no such thing as a black hole. Almost, there almost is, but isn't. But it still comes down to the same black hole science exactly. Exactly the same. Gravitational strength at the particle level. So the closer you get to a particle and the closer particles get to other particles, the more gravity noticeably applies. It becomes super strong. It will not pull into a black hole. It will not cause each other to merge into each other and collapse. If that happens, it'll be more like the particles would merge into becoming one particle, but they'd still have a blast off explosion of energy. So it won't matter. It'd still end up with the same particle. If they end up being too big and too charged up, they disappear from this universe noticeably, at least under certain conditions. Too low, they drop out of existence. Too high, at least in size, they don't operate in the same phase. They sort of just go out of phase. They're just right here in the same place. They're just as solid as they ever were, but they just don't really affect each other, the other matter affecting it anymore the same. So the other matter that's out of phase will affect it as if it's normal matter in etheric space. So let me see. Wait a minute. How much time do we got? Because, I mean, I lost so much time in the beginning. There's so many other things I want to talk about. I have in my notes and everything. And the kittens, it kind of take up a little time. Some people want to hear, you know, the updates on the kittens. I need to start giving them away very soon, especially before they get much bigger. But they are pretty smart, pretty cute. And it's like, you want something from a free energy inventor and someone in need of help. I would actually hope for a donation to help the kittens too, but I need the donations. But if you want one of the kittens, they're very smart. And the mother is very smart. If their eyes don't change, they'll be pretty unique, even though they're just a domestic house cat kind of cat. I still would prefer some of these kittens over a lot of those $900 cats. I'm telling you, for real. I mean, like, they don't have electric blue eyes, but their blue is they're pretty cool blue. They're slightly lighter. A couple of them are just slightly lighter than they were. But they're not like gemstone sapphire blue. They're not electric blue. They're not sky blue. They're not exactly dusk twilight zone dark blue. They're not really exactly a gray blue. Some are gray blues. But the blue is just a really cool blue to go with the really cool orange they have. They're just so gentle. They're really gentle. Like, they're fun and they're gentle. Super social already. Oh, they love being pet. Purr already. Totally potty trained. Instantly, they'll just eat anything. They're just ready. They're 8 weeks right now. 8 weeks old right now, 2 months old as of today or within 24 hours. So I hope to be able to get some pictures in here for you guys to see. And I want them to go to a home that's not going to inject them with a bunch of stuff, feed them crap kind of stuff. I don't want the nanotech in. I don't want their futures to be in a think tank nanotech government center. OK, one way or the other, being permanently tracked and tested on and mandated that they get 72 freaking shots and all that kind of stuff. I don't want them getting to someone who's going to eat it in the future where you're going to run out of food either, and I'm not going to eat it, whether I run out of food or not. All right, let me go back to Skype, see if there's any messages. Let me get a. Oh yeah, Gorillion was playing Devil's Advocate. All right, hold on. Let me check Skype for messages. I got to scroll kind of far sometimes. I meant to go into the host chat. I meant to go and check in things. A matter of fact, I wanted to see, let's see, what Biden asks Americans to choose between freedom and what do you think he says? I don't know. Hillary Clinton claims Trump wants to kill and imprison is something. Probably all want to kill each other. Anyway, Facebook something. Hey, the Barry Prince show. Die, MAGA, die by some Congress guy. And now I know who Trafficante. I was thinking of some other Trafficante with the E on the end, the famous good guy. When I heard that Trafficante died, Jim or John or whatever his name is, the congressman, the douchebag or something. I think that's who he is. Let me see. Congressional candidate says following foreign aid packages vote and something, something. Die, MAGA, die. I don't know if he's saying, the congressman is saying die, MAGA, or I think that's what's going on. Oh, my God. Some of my predictions. Oh, man. I saw some kids being run over by a truck. It might have been on purpose. They were like 7, 6 years old. I don't know. Totally blonde hair. I think both the boy, there's a boy and a girl. They're all wearing light colored clothes like tan, maybe yellow. Yeah, a little bit of other colors. Big giant Mack truck or something. Seeing it hit him direct on. This boy was running up the road. And a girl was running sort of on the side. I think she got hit also, though. Sort of a little weird. It was kind of slow motion. It was almost like I had to focus on each one individually. And just before that, there was a question of someone we knew involved in the dream visions that we didn't know if the guy was a pedo. And it might have related to that guy trying to cover the kids that he pedoed up and they escaped or they went home or something and he had to run them down. But then I saw this massive truck, big truck, or I don't know, it might have been a rocket. It had weird flames coming out of it, it had weird teeth, sort of. It was like a slot with backhoe teeth in a way, almost going up and down the slot, and flames were coming out of it. It could have been a war machine. It could have been a dump truck, like a garbage truck. It was big. It was really big. It almost seemed to have two or three sections. It seemed to be military or even NASA. But it was in the woods. It wasn't in the desert or anything. And Desert Storm is the word I was looking for about. We did the fabrics for Desert Storm, soldiers and stuff. Fatigues, parachutes, everything, every single thing. With the fly eye fabric we called fly eye. And so dry fly guy is not going to be with us after the 25th. Okay. He's been hurting a long time, took a turn for the worst. It's terminal. He's just going to do the, I think it's called the MAID program, assisted suicide. And the governments of the world, of course, had planned all this out, driving you to suicide, and he has to take it out. You know, he did what he could here with us, fought the good fight. He's going to live another day somewhere else, some other time and place, start again for another fight, another day for another fight in a brand new body. So that's going to happen any day now. The 27th will be... The 27th will be this wake with this family and music all planned out. Again, I suggested last night, Shine On You Crazy Diamond. I meant to say by Pink Floyd. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's fitting, maybe not. I'm not sure. I don't know. It was kind of fitting for my cousin who wanted it for his funeral if he ever died. And maybe it would be fitting for me. I don't plan on dying. I plan on living. And, not every word is going to be fitting, but you know what? It's an overall pretty cool song. It kind of is. So, I don't know. I'm looking at things. I was talking about Mr. Rose, the engine. Okay, here it is. NASA veterans propellantless propulsion drive. that physics says something the impossible, whatever. I clicked on the page. I got to read a little bit. So it's propellantless. It doesn't mean it's energeticless. It doesn't mean it doesn't have a nuclear generator on board to power the electrostatic. It's electrostatic. I know that much. That can fight one force of gravity. They're doing another test for even further. So they're building up to have a, they want to knock you down. This stuff, this information has been around from the dielectrics, the dielectric anti-gravitational propulsion from T. Townsend Brown, and stuff. I went to a site, you know, there was the site that talks about the new tech. There's like a tech, one of the tech school groups. They did their own plane, an electric plane. It was an ion propelled plane. And it's saying it's like the first of its kind, like they're basing it on T. Townsend Brown technology, who claimed it was anti-gravitational, but it turns out it was just simply moving ions. No, that's not how it went. Okay, they totally downplayed. First of all, they stole his technology. He's long dead, long dead. It was anti-gravity. Okay, he proved it was anti-gravity. He knew the ion issue. He completely knew. They all did. There's a whole bunch of people working on ion propulsion drives. They all had wires attached to them and new flame jet generators, as they call them. I mean, every plane has a generator, and you could say in a sense, like they're talking about, let's try to power this with just battery power. No, you're supposed to have a generator, and the generator is supposed to produce also some of the thrust and the electricity at the same time, but it's still super efficient. And the free energy ones, of course, and nuclear ones and fusion ones are all obviously, of course, better. And the secret battery power and charge up system. So they're like, no, Bunsen Brown, we copied it and it's finally graded. We got it to fly. It barely flies. It's a stupid 6-foot plane or something like that, little model plane. They got wires going across and they're charging the air and throwing the ions in the air back as propulsion. Now, I keep talking about this occasionally. Now, it's supposedly brand new. Hey, we finally did it. They're building up to bringing anything out. They're stopping every little guy from ever developing anything for themselves, slow stepping everything else, never really giving it to you. It's going to be used in war. They're building it up for wartime purposes in real war with Russia and China. And eventually it's going to be used in the false flag alien attack. And then we're going to have, how do you fight aliens with anti-gravity? With anti-gravity. And they're going to have all these examples. Oh, we barely made it. It's barely, thank God, this new IT tech got in just in time. And this new guy from NASA vet just barely developed the anti-electrostatic propulsion just in time. And it's a good thing we had some clues from a crashed flying saucer from Roswell. You were all right. And it's a good thing this, and it's a good thing that. And it's a good thing we put $100 trillion into it secretly, and we had to lie to you. And it's, oh, we got to save ourselves from the... Oh, and it's a good week. It's going to be a slow start. We're barely going to win, and we're going to lose. And they do lose. We do lose for a long time until the final end, and some hero wins, and we win. We finally win. Us humans are so awesome. And it's like they're belittling T. Townsend Brown. They're belittling Bunsen and Brown and the dielectric propulsions and all the other well known since the 60s and maybe the 50s. The ion electric propulsion. It just ionizes the air, and then a charge or a magnetic field throws the ion into the air, knocking it down. So in other words, by throwing the ion, it causes thrust. By knocking air out of the way, it blows air, it causes thrust. It's super efficient, super. So it's like, no, it's not how you're supposed to use it, dummy, and you're using it badly and wrongly, and you're talking about putting lithium frickin' batteries inside again. All right, so it's like what they specified in the whole intro was how there was no anti-gravity. The whole thing about the entire mystique, the whole massive groups of stories and pages everyone got trying to find out how Bunsen Brown and T. Townsend Brown figured out how to use the dielectrics was a whole long history story from a beginning that was a mystery. He himself thought it was a mystery, and it was not ionic at all, not even related to ions. The whole thing began in college professor school or something where they had this big, thick wire to with like an X-ray tube at the end or something. They went to turn it on. Since the wire was curved, or the tube it was in was curved, maybe a rubber tube holding it or something, all the wires inside of it, it was high power, super high power. Because it was like arced or something, or a little curvy or something, as soon as they threw the power, the thing straightened out. Went, now, magnetically, we know, understand how that works magnetically, but it threw itself forward. Now, it threw itself in the direction that the X-rays came out of, in the direction of the rays, not an equal and opposite reaction backwards. He was like, what? What? What the hell's going on? This thing just lunged itself forward against its own thrust. And they immediately disproved the magnetic field part of it. Now, if you have a coil and you turn and put electricity through any coil and it's able to widen for any reason, it will widen because it repels itself. Okay? Itself. If you have a racetrack wire shape and one side of the racetrack is all a bunch of S-shaped curvy S's, snaky and everything, and you suddenly turned it on, they'll all straighten out. It'll become a straight line just like the other side. Right, magnetically, though, it's magnetically. But then you had the effect where you put electricity, the initial surge of electricity, while the wire is still in a dielectric high resistance state, the whole wire or metal rod gets thrust forward mysteriously. Then it evens out and they don't know how to deal with it. And there's a bunch of stories about it. But he went from there and he found out what it was. And he specifically took the whole entire test model set that flew, was flying in circles attached to wires. There was two of them, two like 5 foot, 6 foot discs, 4 feet or something like that. It was one of the famous ones. They were electrically pushing themselves around in circles. And he wanted to disprove that it was ion propulsion. He did it in a vacuum, and still there might be some ions in there, still some air in there. So he submerged the entire thing under oil that completely destroys all ions. Completely. It still worked. It worked fine. It worked exactly according to the physics and knowledge about how much electricity to put into it. It mysteriously just moved. And then he developed spaceships from it. And he went on from there, and others took his knowledge, and then they did electrostatic tests many, many decades ago, and they got to the strongest possible amount of attraction, the highest voltage they can imagine, and then they classified the super strength pull and what it did magically from there on. Guess why this guy knows how to use ions and electrostatic. Stolen, donate.
Is the truth jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in.